The Fourth Century, Chapters 51 through 60. Number 51. Man, being to live in the image of God, and thus of necessity to become productive of glorious actions, was made good, that he might rejoice in the fruits which himself did yield. That goodness which by error and corruption becomes a snare, being in the clear and pure state of innocency, the fountain and the channel of all his joys. Number 52. Thus you see how God has perfectly pleased me. It ought also to be my care perfectly to please him. He hath given me freedom, and adventured the power of sinning into my hands. It ought to be a principle engraven in me, to use it nobly, to be illustrious and faithful, to please him in the use of it, to consult his honor, and having all the creatures in all worlds by his gift ministering unto me, to behave myself as a faithful friend to so great a majesty, so bountiful a Lord, so divine a benefactor. Nothing is so easy as to yield one's assent to glorious principles, nothing so clear in upright nature, nothing so obscure to find in perverted, nothing so difficult to practice at all. In the rubbish of depraved nature they are lost, though when they are found by any one and shewn, like jewels they shine by their native splendor. Number 53. If you ask what is become of us since the fall, because all these things now lately named semi to pertain to the estate of innocence, truly now we have superadded treasures, Jesus Christ, and are restored to the exercise of the same principles upon higher obligations. I will not say with more advantage, though perhaps obligations themselves are to us advantage. For what enabled Adam to love God? Was it not that God loved him? What constrained him to be averse from God? Was it not that God was averse from him? When he had fallen, he thought God would hate him and be his enemy eternally, and this was the miserable bondage that enslaved him. But when he was restored, oh, the infinite and eternal change! His very love to himself made him to praise his eternal love, I mean his Redeemer's. Do we not all love ourselves? Self-love makes us to love those that love us, and to hate all those that hate us, so that obligations themselves are to us advantage. How we come to lose those advantages, I will not stand here to relate. In a clear light it is certain no man can perish, for God is more delightful than he was in Eden. Then he was as delightful as was possible, but he had not that occasion, as by sin was afforded, to superadd many more delights than before. Being more delightful and more amiable, he is more desirable, and may now be more easily, yea, strongly beloved, for the amiableness of the object enables us to love it. Number 54. It was your friend's delight to meditate the principles of upright nature, and to see how things stood in paradise before they were muddied, and blended, and confounded. For now they are lost and buried in ruins, nothing appearing but fragments that are worthless shreds and parcels of them. To see the entire peace ravisheth the angels. It was his desire to recover them, and to exhibit them again to the eyes of men. Above all things, he desired to see those principles which a stranger in this world would covet to behold upon his appearance. And that is, what principles those were by which the inhabitants of this world are to live blessedly and to enjoy the same. He found them very easy and infinitely noble, very noble and productive of unspeakable good, were they well pursued. We have named them, and they are such as these. A man should know the blessings he enjoys. A man should prize the blessings which he knows. A man should be thankful for the benefits which he prizes. A man should rejoice in that for which he is thankful. These are easy things, and so are those also which are drowned in a deluge of errors and customs. That blessings, the more they are the sweeter, the more they serve, if lovers and friends, the more delightful. Yet these are the hard lessons in a perverse and retrograde world to be practiced. and almost the only lessons necessary to its enjoyment. Number 55. He was a strict and severe applier of all things to himself, and would first have his self-love satisfied, and then his love of all others. It is true that self-love is dishonorable, but then it is when it is alone. And self-endedness is mercenary, but then it is when it ends in oneself. It is more glorious to love others and more desirable, but by natural means to be attained. That pool must first be filled that shall be made to overflow. He was 10 years studying before he could satisfy his self-love, and now finds nothing more easy than to love others better than oneself, and that to love mankind so is a comprehensive method to all felicity, for it makes a man delightful to God and men, to himself and spectators, and God and men delightful to him, and all creatures infinitely in them. But as not to love oneself at all is brutish, or rather absurd and stonish, for the beasts do love themselves, so hath God by rational methods enabled us to love others better than ourselves, and thereby made us the most glorious creatures. Had we not loved ourselves at all, we could never have been obliged to love anything. So that self-love is the basis of all love. But when we do love ourselves, and self-love is satisfied infinitely in all its desires and possible demands, then it is easily led to regard the benefactor more than itself, and for his sake overflows abundantly to all others. So that God, by satisfying my self-love, hath enabled and engaged me to love others. Number 56. No man loves, but he loves another more than himself. In mean instances, this is apparent. If you come into an orchard with a person you love, and there be but one ripe cherry, you prefer it to the other. If two lovers delight in the same piece of meat, either takes pleasure in the other, and more esteems the beloved's satisfaction. What ails men that they do not see it? In greater cases, this is evident. A mother runs upon a sword to save her beloved. A father leaps into the fire to fetch out his beloved. Love brought Christ from heaven to die for his beloved. It is in the nature of love to despise itself and to think only of its beloved's welfare. Look to it. It is not right love that is otherwise. Moses and Saint Paul were no fools. God make me one of their number. I am sure nothing is more acceptable to him than to love others so as to be willing to imperil even one's own soul for their benefit and welfare. Number 57. Nevertheless, it is infinitely rewarded, though it seems difficult. For by this love do we become heirs of all men's joys and co-heirs with Christ. For what is the reason of your own joys when you are blessed with benefits? Is it not self-love? Did you love others as you love yourself, you would be as much affected with their joys. Did you love them more? More. For according to the measure of your love to others, will you be happy in them. For according thereunto, you will be delightful to them, and delighted in your felicity. The more you love men, the more delightful you will be to God, and the more delight you will take in God, and the more you will enjoy him. So that the more like you are to him in goodness, the more abundantly you will enjoy his goodness. By loving others, you live in others to receive it. Number 58. Shall I not love him infinitely, for whom God made the world and gave his Son? Shall I not love him infinitely, who loves me infinitely? Examine yourself well, and you will find it a difficult matter to love God so as to die for him, and not to love your brother so as to die for him in like manner. Shall I not love him infinitely, whom God loved infinitely, and commends to my love, as the representative of himself, with such a saying, What ye do to him is done unto me. And if I love him so, can I forbear to help him? Verily, had I but one crown in the world, being in an open field, where both he and I were ready to perish, and 'twere necessary that one of us must have it all, or be destroyed, though I knew not where to have relief, he should have it, and I would die with comfort. I will not say, how small a comfort, so small a succor is, did I keep it, but how great a joy to be the occasion of another's life. Love knows not how to be timorous, because it receives what it gives away, and is unavoidably the end of its own afflictions and another's happiness. Let him that pleases keep his money. I am more rich in this noble charity to all the world, and more enjoy myself in it, than he can be in both the Indies. Number 59. Is it unnatural to do what Jesus Christ has done? He that would not in the same cases do the same things can never be saved. For unless we are led by the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Love in him that in the same cases would do the same things will be an oracle always inspiring and teaching him what to do, how far to adventure upon all occasions. And certainly he whose love is like his Savior's will be far greater than any that is now alive in goodness and love to God and men. This is a sure rule. Love studies not to be scanty in its measures, but how to abound and overflow with benefits. He that pinches and studies to spare is a pitiful lover. Unless it be for other's sake, love studies to be pleasing, magnificent, and noble, and would in all things be glorious and divine unto its object. Its whole being is to its object, and its whole felicity in its object, and it hath no other thing to take care of. It doth good to its own soul, while it doth good to another. Number 60. Here upon earth it is under many disadvantages and impediments that maim it in its exercise, but in heaven it is most glorious. And it is my happiness that I can see it on both sides the veil or screen. There it appeareth in all its advantages, for every soul being full and fully satisfied, at ease, in rest, and wanting nothing, easily overflows and shines upon all. It is its perfect interest so to do, and nothing hinders it. Self-love, therefore, being swallowed up and made perfect in the love of others. But here it is pinched and straitened by want. Here it is awakened and put in mind of itself. Here it is divided and distracted between two. It has a body to provide for, necessities to relieve, and a person to supply. Therefore, it is in this world the more glorious, if in the midst of these disadvantages it exert itself in its operations. In the other world it swims down the stream and acts with its interest. Here, therefore, is the place of its trial, where its operations and its interests are divided. And if our Lord Jesus Christ, as some think, knew the glory to which he should ascend by dying for others, and that all was safe which he undertook, because in humbling himself to the death of the cross he did not forsake but attain his glory, the like fate shall follow us. Only let us expect it after death as he did, and remember that this and the other life are made of a piece. But this is the time of trial, that of rewards. The greatest disadvantages of love are its highest advantages. In the great hazards it achieves to itself the greatest glory. It is seldom considered, but a love to others stronger than what we bear to ourselves is the mother of all the heroic actions that have made histories pleasant and beautiful the world.